The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
It's time for our weekly medical consultation with Dr. Ray Whalley, but something a little bit different I want to talk to you about. The announcement this week of a new deal between the government and general practitioners. What's that going to mean to our listeners, their relationship with their doctors?
It means that general practitioners can provide a more modern service that they're contracted to do. So, for example, general practitioners are going to cooperate with a lot of e-health initiatives. The most developed information technology services in healthcare are actually in general practice, developed by general practitioners. We're going to be able to send our referrals.
Sorry, what does that mean?
We're going to be able to directly send our referrals to hospitals without going by post, without going by snail mail. We're going to be able to request x-rays by the internet. We're going to be able to get results back. We're going to be able to do blood test requesting. We're going to get the results back.
So I'd imagine that lots of people listening saying, you mean you haven't been doing this since the internet was invented a couple of decades ago?
Well, we actually have, but the problem is the state hasn't engaged with us. So what has happened is the state is now catching up with general practice, and the state is putting systems in, national systems in, that will allow us to be able to do this in an homogenous system throughout the country. And that is fantastic. We're going to be able to have a summary care record whereby if I'm an out-of-hours duty at 8 o'clock at night, that I can access this in regard to a patient that might be registered with another GP. Equally, the hospitals be able to do that. But there are lots of other pieces to this. There are many stools to this. We're going to be able to provide chronic care programs to patients with COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, asthma, cardiovascular disease, diabetes. At the moment, we have a form of a diabetic shared care program, but we're going to be able to do this for all those other areas.
So what will it mean? What will you do differently?
So what there's going to be a structured care program whereby there will be two GP visits and two practice nurses visits, whereby they're going to be structured in a format whereby we provide data back. So we're assessing the patient and we're looking at the data. We're also going to be another chronic care program is going to be looking at high-risk patients, isolating them out, figuring out how we can improve on their care. And this is going to be a structured care program all the way to 18 years of age over a number of years.
So does that mean then that those patients won't have to go to a specialist in a hospital or in their private consulting rooms?
Well, the aim of this is we've got, at the moment, 20,000 new over 65s coming on stream every year. And what's happening is they're, unfortunately, the people who have more comorbidities, more medical ailments. And so what we're going to, international studies have shown, if you have a structured care program, you can improve on people's healthcare. And by that, you're reducing the attendance at outpatients. By that, you're reducing the attendance at emergency departments. And effectively, we're providing the care in the community.
Give me a worked example. Give me an example of a particular illness and how people will be cared for differently now to the way they are at present.
So at the moment, if we look at where we're going to isolate out people with high risk, and we may not be aware of it, we're going to be literally targeting those who may be overweight, who may have not basically been aware they're overweight, but we're going to be isolating them out, figuring out what their body mass index is, seeing if they've got diabetes and other ailments, and we're going to be providing them with a care program in regard to that.
Okay, but just say if you found somebody had diabetes, what would you do then? Would you still refer them on to somebody else, or would you prescribe the medication and oversee the medication?
Well, at the moment, we would only send on the complicated ones. The complicated ones may be people who have got renal problems on top of cardiac problems, and we would tend to treat the type 2 diabetes in general practice, with the insulin-dependent diabetics definitely being referred. And what's going to happen here is we're going to have more supports to do some of that. Now, we're not being made to do any of this. We're going to be doing this in conjunction with the hospitals, and if we feel that we're out of our depth in general practice and dealing with something, we'll get the support of the hospital.
OK, anything else of significance in what's been agreed with the government?
Yes, there's a treatment system whereby GPs are resourced to provide hemochromatosis treatment. There's 100,000 of those sufferers at the moment, with very few clinics dealing with this in Ireland. This is going to be provided for any general practitioner who wants to do it in a surgery. We're going to be provided with funding in regard to dealing with involuntary admissions. All GPs will know the hours that it takes in regard to certifying somebody under the Mental Health Act. You're being appropriately resourced for that. Where if we have somebody with cardiac failure, we're going to be able to dial in access to a consultant to provide what are called virtual health clinics. That's state of the art, and we're going to be funded for that. So it is a very exciting time to provide for, like, if we revert back to when Brendan Drum was the CEO, he basically said that general practitioners were the most underutilised specialists in the country. This is a start to provide resources in regard to that, to retain our general practitioners, use their skill set, and hopefully get other ones coming back and sort of recruit more into the future. They're providing resources to allow us to take on more practice staff and provide for the patients in the community.
One other thing I want to talk to you about in the time we have available to us. We have spoken about vaccinations on a number of occasions recently, mainly because of the rise of the number of cases of mumps and also measles. Measles, which is a deadly disease, which kills, I discovered, about over 100,000 children globally each year. There's a very interesting development in New York yesterday, where they announced compulsory vaccination in Brooklyn because of a major measles outbreak. Simon Harris, front page of the Irish Daily Mail today, reported on a tweet he put out. He seems to be in favour of the idea of mandatory vaccination. Would you be in favour of that?
100%. Unfortunately, in the North Inner City in the year 2000, I'm afraid a patient died there, one of three patients. This is a disease which is preventable. This is a disease whereby people who don't vaccinate their children should not be allowed to put vaccinated children at risk. It is something whereby it's been eradicated in the third world, it's coming back in the first world. But we need to get our politicians involved in this. It's only that legislation in New York has only come on foot of a Senate hearing within the last few weeks. This type of debate has not been held in our Oireachtas. Our politicians need to catch up with what the greater public want. 100%. In France, you can't get your children into school. You can't get into America under a visa program if you have not had your children vaccinated. In fact, I have a relation who is a naturalized American who had to bring their children back from America to go to the American embassy, queue in the rain to basically apply and show their children were vaccinated. That's what we need to be doing here. It is for the betterment of those parents' children who are misguided.
Oh, but what about this idea about individual civil liberties, making choice for your children that you're entitled to rather than being told to do what the state tells you to do?
Well, this is akin to parents being allowed to let their children smoke. Would the state basically allow that? No. This is something which kills children. I've unfortunately looked after those children who have died in front of me. It stays with me for the rest of my life. And I'm afraid they should not be allowed to do it. It should be that it is for the betterment of the children. The evidence is there and we cannot ignore the evidence.
Thank you very much, Dr. Ray Wally, for joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.